So we're looking at wisdom this series, right, in our second week of it. And last week we looked at the big picture. And so today we're just going to dive right in. I want to look at two verses from Proverbs chapter 3 that are really well known, very popular. You know, we work with confirmation students, and we ask the confirmants to choose life verses. I know my mentee here, Nick, that's his life verse, is Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, right? It's a very popular verse because it's an awesome and important verse. And so I would like us to all say it all together first, right? Let's say it together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Now let me just tell you right up front, when I memorized these verses as a child, I memorized them in a different version. So if I slip into the second line saying, and lean not on your own understanding, it's the same thing. Okay, so just forgive me up front. Now, as I was meditating on this passage for the sermon this week, you know, I've said before, I like to think about it while I'm on my walk, you know. And as I was dwelling in these two verses, one word just captured my imagination over and over again. And I would like you to look at this slide and see if you can guess which one captured my mind. Okay? Yeah. So it was the word all. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And how does it go? And do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. You know, I posted this on our Facebook page. Some of you might not know that we have a church Facebook page, and sometimes we'll post our sermon topics, you know, and we invite you into conversation there. And so I got a comment back on this, and the comment was, you know, I can trust God in some things easily, but there are some things where I just can't trust God in them. It's really hard to trust God in all things. You know, we can trust God. It's interesting. We can trust God in the big abstract things like our eternal salvation, right? But when it comes down to the practical things like my child's safety or meeting my deadlines at work, right, or balancing my checkbook, I have a hard time trusting God in those things. Have you found that to be true? So the question that I want to ask today is this. Why is it so hard to trust God in all things? I think there's two reasons that I want to look at. The first one has to do with waffles and spaghetti. Now maybe you've heard this book. It's a popular book out right now called Men Are Like Waffles and Women Are Like Spaghetti. I want to just borrow that image. Okay, I don't want to talk about the difference between men and women, because I think it actually goes deeper than that. I think this is a cultural society thing. And I don't know why this popped in my mind when I was thinking about it. Maybe I was just hungry, all right? But I want to put up here that there's two kinds of thinking, two kinds of ways of being. I'm calling it the continuum of being, right? On the one hand, there's waffle-esque type of living and thinking. And on the other side, there's spaghetti-ish kind of thinking. And let's see what I'm talking about here. Let's look at the waffle side. See how a waffle is divided into sections, right? Compartments. And we tend to think of our life in these little separate sections. Some people like to fill syrup. Let's see, I've got this little, yeah, some people like to fill their syrup just in keep it all separate, right? So I want you to think about your life right now and think about some of the things that you do. Like, you go to work, right? And work is this separate compartment over here. And then maybe you're involved and you coach your kids' sports team or something. And then maybe you're involved in a civic organization of some sort. All of these kinds of compartments, we'll call that our public life. And that's over here. But then we have this whole other section where we're going to fill syrup into these little squares. And these are things like my favorite TV show. And when I watch in here, or maybe I'm part of this card club, you know, or I do these private things, and what I do with my friends and my family and those kinds of things. We'll call this whole section of our life our private life, right? And then there's this other little section where the things that go inside of our mind, like our inner thoughts or our body, how we either take care of it or don't take care of it, okay? So we'll call that our inner self. And then there's this little section over here that I'm calling our hidden self or our hidden life, that we're not even maybe aware of. So think about your life. Do you ever sense that you live your life compartmentalized? Let's look at it in a little cleaner way, okay? Here we have these two nice boxes where we have our public life or our public self, and we have our private life and our private self. Now, when you go out into your public self, do you ever feel like, let's take work or school, when you go to that public place, do you ever feel like you have to put on your game face? You have to put on a certain person to function there. And you behave a certain way there. And then when you come home, you like take off your game face, maybe even take off your pants, you know, and just sit in your underwear on the couch. I don't know what you do, right? But you're a different person in your private life. And you work hard in your public life and you're different in your private. And you may be thinking, yeah, right? I mean, that's how life is. You go, you work hard in your public and you come home and your private world is your private world. Well, so what's the point? Well, I want you to look closely at this picture. Notice all the different categories. Where does church and faith fit? Fits in the private life, doesn't it? You know, on Thursday, we celebrated our independence from the King of England. I love freedom. I love our freedom in the United States, so don't get me wrong. I appreciate freedom. And one of our greatest freedoms as United States citizens is the freedom of religion, right? As American citizens, we can worship anything we want or nothing at all. We have the freedom to do that. And that's a beautiful thing. However, that very same freedom has an interesting side effect. Because what we tend to not realize is why that freedom was initially wanted. See, our founding fathers and mothers in the American Revolution were children of this thing called the Enlightenment. For 200 years in Europe, European people had witnessed what the church was like. After the Protestant Reformation, Christians started slaughtering each other in the name of God. 20 million people died in the 30 Years' War because of church and state together, fighting over political religious issues. And so the Enlightenment thinkers came up with a new way of being in the world. They said, this religion stuff doesn't work. What we need to do is create this separation between the public life and the private world. And in the public life, the only thing that's admissible as truth is science, facts and figures, empirical, hard data, you know, just the facts, ma'am. And if you want to be successful in the public world, you have to operate that way. And you work hard and you become successful in politics and economics, that's all that's real. Then over here in the private life, you can believe whatever you want. You can believe in fairies. You can believe in all kinds of superstition. You can believe in God if you want. But that's your private life. And never should it come into the public life. Right? And so you have these categories. And so faith is just another fairy tale. Now, our proverb today says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and he will make your paths straight. So life is like a journey, right? If we're on a journey, what does it look like if all of a sudden you live in these separate compartments, and they're so separate from each other that they're going in different directions? So your public self at work follows one set of rules, and your private self follows a different set of rules. Have you ever felt like your life looks like this? Like you're going in all of these directions? That's why there's so much anxiety in our culture. It's because the air that we breathe as free Westerners is a world where the public world and the private world are separate, and faith is a private and not real thing. See, spiritual formation, part of spiritual formation, is the breaking down of the separation between public and private. And starting to see that these things are all integrated. The truth is that it's all spiritual. God is in all of it. God is as much in your work as he is in your church. And when you go to work, you are worshiping God in all that you do. And so part of this journey is understanding that it really is like spaghetti. We go to this next picture. It's all integrated. So part of our spiritual formation of trusting God in all things is moving from waffle to spaghetti. It's all interrelated. But the reason it's so hard is because it is completely countercultural to the air that we breathe as American citizens. Now that's really great, like big theoretical stuff, right? But there's a second reason why it's hard to trust. You ready for this? Because it's really hard to trust. Right? Isn't it? Trust does not come easily. Trust takes years to build and moments to break. Now, I used to think that these verses were about finding God's plan for my life. I believed that God had a plan for my life, and if I would just trust in God, then I would discover God's plan and follow God's plan. Well, I've come to learn something as I've gotten older. I really don't think that God has a plan for our lives. I think God has a promise for our lives. See, God has promised to be trustworthy in our life. You know, honestly, I don't know what it looks like for you to learn to trust God in all things. I can't know that. The truth is, there are not five easy steps to trusting God. There's 1,000 difficult steps on the journey to trust, right? I can't tell you, but I can tell you how I've learned to trust God and what my journey has looked like. I used to think that God had a plan. Actually, when I graduated from college, I had God's plan for my life mapped out. I knew exactly what I was going to do for God. I had rejected my call to being a pastor, and I thought that God wanted me to be an artist. I was going to become a Disney animator. I was going to open my own studio, and I was going to help inner city kids with art. Isn't that a good plan for God for me? I had it all mapped out. My plan went like this, and then life went like that. And I had to adjust. So then I felt called to ministry, and I went into ministry in this big, fancy church. And I got on staff, and I settled in. I was like, okay, here's my plan, God. Here's what I'm going to do. And then life went like this. And I had to adjust. And then we started this house church. And I thought, I'm going to change the world with the house church. And then my life went like this. I had to adjust. And I know I've told this story before, but in February of 2007, I'm sitting there at night and laying there in bed, and God says, move to Minnesota and get your PhD. I'm like, that's an interesting idea. So what do? I say, good idea, God. Here's my plan. I'm going to sell my house, make all this money off of my house. I'm going to move to Minnesota. I'm going to start my business. And don't ask me to be a pastor. That's not going to happen. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to find out which PhD program to get into. And blah, 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 bam. And then the housing market crashes. My plan went like this. And life went like that. And then my dad introduces me to Pastor Mark. And Pastor Mark introduces me to y'all. And God starts working on me. And I remember in March of 2010, finally happened. I took Pastor Mark out for coffee and I said, I surrender. I give up. I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. I'll do whatever. If you want me to be an ELCA pastor, that's what I'll do. And so we started this journey. And you know what Pastor Mark said to me in that conversation? He said, you know, Steve, I think you should get your PhD. Like, what? Yeah, and so we started looking at Luther, and the next thing I know, I'm accepted in this PhD program in exactly what I want, and it's a full ride scholarship. And somebody from my past calls up and says, hey, I want to financially support you so you can shut down your freelance business. And all of a sudden, for the last 2 years, I've just been in school and church, loving it. So I'm over two years into it. And people keep asking me, so you're getting your PhD. What's your plan? You know what I say? I don't know. I don't have a plan. For the first time in my life, I don't have a plan. But I tell you what, Lana and I, as we have looked over this story, we've looked back and we've seen that in every curveball, God has been there, faithful, proving himself trustworthy. I don't need a plan. I just need a promise that God will be faithful. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Because it's spaghetti, anyway. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will make straight your paths. Because God is trustworthy. I invite you to just stand right now as we prepare to sing.